Thibodeau Regional.
The football season is always exciting. Coaches getting hired, players getting traded, free agents moving to new cities. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ziprecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good. But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the 9th inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Our number 3-800-998-1003. Is the number to give us a call. Buddy will say hello to you over there. Across from me is Jordan Kleber, keeping an eye on our social media page on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. LSU fans, we've opened it up to you throughout the show if you'd like to chime in. Who you like moving forward and what you think over the weekend. LSU's baseball season comes to a close. They do not get to Omaha. They get swept in the Super Regional 4-2, 15-6. Matt Moscone, after further review, the top of the hour will come up. And obviously give you a detailed breakdown of that series and moving forward. We spoke with Glenn Gilbo, and the two names that he says likely to be at the top of the list or he would like to see at the very least, Mike Bianco over there at Ole Miss, and Dan McDonald, the Louisville head baseball coach, 50 years old, double-digit regional, super regional appearances combined, a couple trips to Omaha as well over there in Louisville. So, love to get your opinion on that. If any of those two gentlemen would be coaches that you would think about. Vandy, Arizona, Stanford, NC State, Texas, Tennessee are in. Notre Dame taking on Mississippi State and Dallas Baptist in Virginia battling for the final two spots as well. We've also touched on the NBA playoffs. Chris Paul yesterday, remarkable performance, 37 points. The Joker, Jokic, was ejected. He came across hard on Phoenix Sun, and he got... What are you shaking your head? You don't think he should have been ejected for that?
I mean, I wanted the Phoenix Suns to win that series, but at the same time, you can't be ejecting...
Why?
...the MVP of the league.
Why?
...for something that minute.
You think that was minute?
Minute.
Really?
Play on.
Do you remember Brandon Ingram being ejected? Are you forget about that?
That's also, that was also minute. That was, yes.
Here's the Joker.
Yes, I don't know. It is, it happens. So it's, that's probably true or it's not true. We are not going to change it. So it is what it is.
Exactly.
Wow.
Why even ask him about it? It's the series is over. Your season's over with. You kicked the MVP of the league out. So it doesn't even matter. Thanks for the apology, NBA. Okay. A day afterwards.
Did you
in a
hear
memo.
Him after the game? Did you hear him after the game? And did you not decide to pull that bite on purpose? In which he said he intended to do that. That he was looking to change momentum.
Good.
He was hoping to spur his team on. So he said he purposely took a hard foul. And now you think
it's fine. It's fine.
The player literally admitted he intended to hard foul him.
That's
got
fine.
His head. That's a flagrant too. I don't know what you're...
Did he not come out?
I'm confused by you saying, nah, you know, he was just, I don't know, he went in the air and his arm flew away. That's not at all what happened. So you're going to go with reputation, huh? Reputation.
In a elimination game, yes.
So you think that matters? I need to swallow my whistle because it's the MVP, huh?
Kind of.
Really? Steve Javi, ESPN. Does reputation factor in if it go?
The thing that gets me a couple times here is this, is that I understand, and I'm, you know, reading about he was frustrated and so on. And of course, players get frustrated. There's no doubt. But he makes it really so obvious, guys. He just winds up and takes his big arm. And unfortunately for him, and I know he probably didn't in his mind say, I want to hit him in the nose. And he takes up this big wind up, hits him in the nose. And I know some people might have said, well, you know, the impact should have been harder. Well, do I need to see blood in order to, like, eject a guy?
Thank you, Jordan.
Are things that I think about as I'm watching the play. And, I mean, it does meet the criteria for it. It's, there's this big windup, there's an impact, and where did the impact occur? Well, it occurred in his face area, in the nose. And it was in a basketball play. I know someone says, well, he was going for the ball. Well, let me tell you something. When someone goes for the ball, in my opinion, they don't start winding up 2 or 3 feet prior to making contact.
Yeah. I don't know what you saw, Jordan. That was clear. But so you're going on Jokic, Cajun Gota, see you, Uncle Earl. I need to play one more bite.
Oh, he was going for the ball.
No, he wasn't. I love this. Oh, it's the MVP. We shouldn't.
It's
you
an
know,
elimination game. Of course, they're going to be slapping down the ball.
Don't wind up and try to kill a guy.
Try to kill him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was going for the ball.
No, that's not at all what happened there. Javi on reputation.
If somebody's an aggressive person, continually an aggressive person,
Boogie.
Or maybe during the game, this certain game, maybe somebody had been aggressive before,
Rodman.
Or maybe there have been flagrant fouls in the game. I think that'll come into it. But I'm not going to target somebody as reputations from last year or this or that. But I think situational reputation, if that makes any sense, that if a guy has committed a flagrant foul or there have been a number of flagrant fouls during a game, which sometimes happen, then I think you calibrate a little higher and say my tolerance of another flagrant foul is not going to be too not going to be too tolerant of it.
That's a flagrant to you?
I mean, I don't.
That's a flagrant.
I don't know how you don't see that.
No,
and go,
I see.
The dude ran. He's like 1,200 feet tall and big, and ran up and winded up and. You know what?
The ball.
You're the same guy that says Myles Garrett was just doing a football play and he missed.
No,
that's you.
No, Miles,
you're that guy.
Miles
well,
Garrett.
The helmet missed. What if it wouldn't have? What if Jokic's fist didn't connect with the basketball and connected with his temple?
What if?
Then he's concussed.
What if?
And he's lying on the floor.
We're
like
here
a
talking about
fish
what
out
if.
Of water.
So I'm talking about what happened.
You're unbelievable.
He accidentally hit him in the nose.
There's something
and
wrong
he,
with
and
you.
And he's perfectly fine.
You think that was just go ahead and wind up? Well, you know, if he connects, it's a flagrant. If it's not, he whiffed. Huh?
But if
so
he gets all,
doesn't matter.
But if he gets all ball, it's
Uncle
a great
Earl,
play.
Help me here. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Hey, Goose, you know what we need is best thing you said today is wings, man, from Benny. That's what we need. We need some wings.
You saw my well, get the rooster to, you know, do his thing. I mean, the rooster apparently is not doing his job. That is the president of Tyson Chicken earlier today saying that the male roosters that they have brought in
couldn't get it done.
They're you know, they're Pelicans
hey,
back 3 of 15.
I'm gonna
could have knocked down a shot.
Short, but that, hey, Goose, like you said earlier, man, we're about to go through a dead zone. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, but I'm pulling for Phoenix. I would love to see Monty win a championship. I think that would be great for him in that organization. And as for LSU, like you said, Gus, they started 1-8, man, and finished in the top 16. I mean, I think it was still disappointing, but, man, you got to give them kids props from where they started at. And I just hope they get a really good coach. I like the coach from Louisville. I just don't know. He built that program up, Gus. I don't know if we're going to be able to get him. It's going to be a high profile guy. Just not too many of them out there left, huh? Don't you agree?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I remember it clearly. The next head football coach for the LSU Fighting Tigers, Nick Saban. They're like, huh? Who? Michigan State. So that's why the person doing the hiring needs to be the thing. And what I do find interesting is we've heard from Wilson Alexander, Glenn Gilbo, several others last couple of days, all saying one thing, though, that is concerning to me, and that is everyone apparently feels they have a voice. You know? That's dangerous. That's dangerous when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, right? And the AD's just got, that's what I'm saying, just go breathe, take a weekend away, and then come back and interview. Have people sit down, listen to their vision, see who they are. But give it time. There's a rush, but not a, you know, hey, let's just grab somebody that we think. Interview him. If I think Jordan's the guy, that's great. I already know Jordan's my guy, but let me interview you, Earl. Let me interview Cajun Goat. And if Jordan's my guy, I'll know immediately 5 minutes, 3 minutes, three questions into those interviews with the other guy, because then I know for sure he's standing out. So if it's Bianco that you're sure of, okay, I know it's my guy. I'll have a sit down with him. But I'm still interviewing other young up and coming guys. I want to give myself a chance to be blown away.
I'm different. They got some good young coaches. I mean, a coach from UCF and South Florida. I mean, they got some really good young coaches. I don't know if it has to do with recruiting and they want to get somebody in there. But I'm like you.
Right.
Put all your cards on the table and just let that one guy make a decision and interview everybody and get the best candidate that's going to teach some kids and bring a winning attitude. And I agree with you 100%, Goose.
I think also at the very least, Earl, is this. When you do that, you never know what happens. What if it doesn't work? What if a person has a medical condition, has to quit a year from now or takes another job? I mean, I don't know. When you do things like that and do coaching searches and bring in people, you get to know them. And you can, you know, maybe you get an idea a lot more than you normally would or be able to when you're not. You asked what you were doing during the summer. Don't forget, Jordan's looking forward to providing daily, and I mean daily, Olympic updates.
If it happens.
Archery.
If it happens.
What else is there?
Swimming.
Oh, quick walking.
High dive.
Let me tell you something. Synchronized swimming. Jordan is prepared. He's working on sounders on that. What is it? Duo diving? What's it called? Synchronized diving?
Synchronized
diving. Jordan has been working for weeks, getting you the breakdown, which country has the best synchronized diving teams.
Weeks.
For
maybe months.
And no one knows shot putting better than Kleber over here. So no, I'm just stick around. We got 6 weeks, Cajun Goat. 6 weeks until real training camp. So we will do our best to get you through the next 6 weeks. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Uncle Earl. Cajun Goat, thank you for giving us a call here today. What do you have?
I'm calling to agree with Jordan about the ejection. I don't think the guy should have been ejected for that at all. I'm sorry. And I had to look at it three times and get different angles on the replay to even see where he touched him with the top of his arm, to be honest with you. So I don't think you eject the guy for that move, which I didn't think they should have ejected Brandon Ingram for barely touching the top of a guy's head. But yet, whenever the guy from the Jazz, like, it took Brandon Ingram's head off, it wasn't even a flagrant one because it was a basketball move. I mean, it all depends on who the refs bet on that night in the NBA of who's going to win and who's going to get the fouls call. It's all in the points and all that. What's the guy's name that got caught, Donovan? It's all in that. And as far as LSU's baseball coach, I'm putting Jordan's name in the hat. I think Jordan can do a good job coaching the LSU baseball team.
Oh, my gosh.
Listening to how he took care of his Pontchartrain Pelican thing, I think he can definitely manage a baseball team. He'll get all the right guys to teach the guys stuff, but I think he knows who he wants to sit down.
Here he is. You're next, head baseball coach for LSU. That press conference, can I have the first question?
Go ahead.
You have the first.
Yeah.
How do you think you'll do, seeing as you have zero experience as a coach or a manager with the LSU
fan base?
How long, Mr. Kleber, and a follow-up to that, Coach Kleber.
I didn't even answer the question.
Do you think you will last?
All right, Gus, I just have to go out there and tell the guys, you know, Paul, great coach, giving me the keys to this great program that we're having.
Yeah.
You guys just have to go out there, hit the ball, and you'll make me last year.
Make
a
some
lot
plays
longer
in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pitcher's got to pitch.
Let's throw the ball the
catcher's
first.
Got to catch.
Let's get the
fans
guys
gotta
out.
Cheer. That's it.
Jordan,
keep me Jordan, around here a little
them,
bit longer.
Just yeah. Like Rocky, brother. Just like Rocky, everybody's got to get a chance. All you wanted was
everybody needs a
it's
chance.
It's all the time we got for Cajun Goat encouraging Jordan Kleber. I got Cajun Uber Goat. Eric. I got Uber Eric on hold. I got a Yuckling Cajun Goat and Marlon Favorite to get to. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Look at me.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for two big days only this weekend at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
It's Mike DeTilia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Pick up the phone. We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Back 800-998-1003. Marlon Favorite on deck. Uber Eric, sir, how are you?
I'm all right, Gus. How are you doing today?
Just a
follow up on the last caller, man. I didn't necessarily see the punch or whatever he did, Jokic. But I also think that they wouldn't eject LeBron in an elimination game if he was the MVP. Even if he wasn't the MVP, they wouldn't eject him or something like that.
No, huh? You don't think that's happening?
If it was the first game of the season, they wouldn't have. If it was a preseason game, they wouldn't object him.
Not the commissioner. They wouldn't. They damn sure wouldn't. Oh, they wouldn't eject the commissioner.
Well, along those lines, Uber Eric, LeBron broke protocol and all of that right
exactly.
Before the playoffs.
And he played.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Kristaps Porzingis went and had a cold one, and he got fined heavily. So you might
exactly
be on to something
point.
When it comes to LeBou. Yeah.
Exactly my point. And just to remind you, Zion got his signature shoe before AD did.
So. Oh, there it is. Just a reminder. There we go. Just like, who was the other caller that always likes to call, let us know who, no matter what sport and what team, if you want to take your team to the next level, Eric Bledsoe would be perfect for you.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's true.
I did see that they were sending tweets of Anthony Davis and his chips, and they had a picture of the off-brand chips. You know how they had the
right. Yeah, who was tweeting?
Just some people on Twitter.
Some people.
Yeah. This is just a shot at the.
Did
league.
You just make that up?
No, I'm serious.
I don't know. That kind of seemed
like you
made that up a bit.
Off brand chips.
All right, just making sure. Marlon Favorite, Big Fave 504. We like to chat with them on Mondays and Fridays. Marlon, that sounded like a made up story, though, right? Didn't that sound like a little made up story?
sounds a bit fabricated, but, you know, who's looking?
That's what I thought. I said, okay. I was making sure. My friend, I want to ask you this, though. Different sports, but did you ever feel officiating change depending on venue, change depending on player? Like, did you ever feel that some teams just couldn't get away with holding compared to whatever you were? I don't know, like, say when you played at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I want to begin with that one. But when I was playing arena ball, like, our coach would actually warn us, like, we'll go out to San Jose, hey, guys, you're not going to get this flag, you're not going to get that. They kind of know the officials certain places don't call certain things. So I remember that big time in the arena, boy. We was just prepared for what to know.
Do you think that is inherent? Because Steve Javy today said they've never been officially given a directive. Do you think officials just sort of, hey, if it's a big game, we're going to officiate a certain way. If it's the playoffs, we're going to officiate a certain way. What might be holding, I'm going to wait for something egregious. Do you think that's a human element? Do you think that's one of those unwritten rules that we get in sports where, you know, hey, Marlon, this is the national championship game. So, you know, a little ticky-tack holding ain't going to cut it today. You know, you don't expect that. Do you think that's inherited, or do you think officials – legitimately get told to do this?
I think it's something that just happened as an unwritten rule, like you mentioned. You know, going into playoffs, and we see it every year, certain calls won't get called that got called maybe, let's say, around game two or three at the beginning of the season. So that holding call is a bit tough. Like, it has to be an obvious hold. Even on the D-line, like, and this, it doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season, playoffs, finals, unless you, so say for instance, the offensive linemen, they're actually coached to hold your inside pads. So if they lock and load inside, no ref, particularly south of the Dixie, is going to throw that flag. But if you, and Cam Jordan's really good at this, if you throw that rip in there and try to show an escape and turn towards the ref, hey, look, I'm getting held. Then they have to throw it. So I tell even the guys we train all the time, don't go on, come on the sideline saying that, hey, oh, man, they were holding me, because it's just a part of the game. You're going to get held, and they're going to not throw a flag most of the time.
I want to touch on some college football here as well. Over the weekend, I want to say yesterday, ESPN put out a pretty big story. Kirk Herbstreit commented on it. Of course, all of this is what took place on Friday, Marlon, and that was that the college football management committee, playoff management committee, is going to recommend, I believe, what, next week to expand to 12. Then they will form a study. Bottom line, it'll be around the end of the year in which an official vote could happen. But it looks like it's going to go in that direction. I bring it up, Marlon, because Coach O was quoted in the story as saying he's in favor for it. He actually said, and I want to say, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but he said something along the lines that, hey, it gives us a better chance to sort of get in. So, look, since we last spoke, you know, we did touch on it a little bit, but I like this. It's the Power Five conference champions, the group of five, the best champion, the highest seeded. So, like, the American Athletic Conference probably is the sixth conference. Then six at larges. A lot to be made about Notre Dame and things of that nature. I want to play two bites from Heather Dinich and then get your takes on this. This is how she thinks that Notre Dame shouldn't fight this, that it might actually help them in her reasoning.
Notre Dame, while everybody else is playing in those grueling conference championship games, they're at home. They're resting like they always do. So even though they don't get the first round bye because they can't win a conference champion, they still have chance to rest. And then they do play in that first round, and in that first round, they've got a home game. I mean, that's a terrific advantage. So I think that's one of those things where time will tell whether or not, if it's really a dagger that people initially made it out to be for the Irish.
Thank you to Jordan. He pulled up the exact quote. Coach O said, I think it's coming. Here's what I've learned. As the older you get, you have to adapt. The game is changing. Recruiting is changing. Things are changing fast. We have to just adapt. Hey, if they expand, then good. It gives us a chance to get in. Have to play more games, but you have to adapt. I think it's going that way. They got us into the playoffs. If they get us into the playoffs, I'm going to be happy. So, Marlon, that's an SEC team, an SEC coach saying, hey, look, the more spots, the merrier.
I like it. The more spots, the merrier. You look at it, and it took me a while to think about it because at first it was like, oh, man, now it's looking more as a, like an NFL format. Well, it should be that way because if you take a look at it, and that'll eliminate the Boise States of the world complaining, you know, other teams, and it'll even help our home team out, Tulane, get in there. Tulane win the American Conference, boom, they're in. So I do think it's an opportunity for other teams to compete against those Power Five teams that we hear so much about. It gives opportunity for teams like a Boise State or a team that or with the lower Power Five tier teams, but they don't have enough strength and schedule to get in these games based off the teams the way the committee judges them. So I do think, Gus, that this is a great opportunity for college football, and it'll give them a real playing field. And hello, somebody, nowhere to complain.
Yeah, no doubt. I hear you. Look, and you mentioned Tulane and some of the other small schools. Here's what Dinich had to say about that. One of the things that I think is going to stand out to you, and I want to play it, is that it does, I think, Marlon, help, you know, schools be able to, you know, get an opportunity to play and do things that you just wouldn't have. I mean, I've always said this before. When you get there in spring ball or fall ball and you're practicing and doing that, Marlon, there's the goals, you know, the dry erase board, the coaches speak, and you legitimately at least think that you have a chance. A lot of these teams, literally, they can go undefeated. They're never going to sniff a national championship. I mean, but if we played by those rules, we never would have had Butler, right? I mean, they didn't win it, but they almost did, and it was magnificent. Here's what Dinich had to say.
Talking about the sixth highest-ranked conference champions. There's only five Power Five conference champions. So even if you have Big 12, ACC, SEC, Big 10, if you have all of them, you still have another spot. And we're not even guaranteeing that all Power Five conference champions get in. The language is specific, and it's the highest ranked conference champions. That's why the selection committee's role will still be important, because if you look at last year, Oregon, the Pac-12 champ at number 25, you're out of luck. I'm sorry, Greeny, but if you have a three-loss Northwestern beating Ohio State and Northwestern is ranked 24th, you're out of luck.
Interesting. So you have the human element in it, and then the regular season still matters, which is why I don't know why people say the regular season would matter.
The regular season, it will still matter, Gus. And here's the thing, right? And this is what it's going to really boil down to for most teams who try to just schedule non-conference games with teams that aren't highly ranked. It's going to hurt you in the long run. It just will. It just what it is. So if you're a team like this year, Tulane play Oklahoma, that's huge, because Oklahoma's a team that gets in. So if you compete or you actually beat Oklahoma, that shoots you up at Tulane, and it won't put you in a bad place. So I think with this new deal, it should also encourage those smaller schools to play the bigger schools, don't be afraid to put them on your schedule.
Yeah, and that's interesting because you brought that up, and several coaches, I want to say, from Texas A&M to, I even think Saban kind of mentioned as well with Bama, they were all mentioning that too. They're trying to schedule teams and games out 4 or 5 years from now to try to make their, you know, games more significant stuff. So that's what, look, I'm in favor of all of this. One quick other NFL tidbit I want to touch on here as well. I don't know if you noticed the world did not come to an end, but Tim Tebow did catch a pass from Trevor Lawrence, and they're still apparently waiting on the Aaron Rodgers thing. So how much do you make out of what's going on right now in this offseason? Are you just like at this point, Marlon, let's just get through the final 6 weeks here of the dead period, and then literally 6 weeks from this week, start a training camp?
I love it. Football season is getting close. Tim Tebow, look, Gus, this may drag and be a story all the way through the season, because here's how I look at the Tim Tebow situation. And I let it marinate a few weeks, because when I first heard it, I'm like, okay, Tim, here you go. Go ahead and use your relationship with Urban Meyer to the best of your ability. But then I thought about Urban Meyer, you know, coming over to the NFL from college football, kind of more like I put him in a category like when Pete Carroll first left USC and went to the Seahawks. I look at Urban Meyer that way going down to Jacksonville. You get a guy in Tim Tebow who's favorable to that area. Everyone knows Tebow in Florida. His jersey was the biggest selling when he played. Heck, his jersey was big selling when he was back in Chris Leake. I mean, he brings that media attention. He also brings experience under Coach Urban Meyer's coach, you know, under his ruling, what he does in terms of play calling. So that helps as well. So if this may be a thing with Gus, knowing Tim Tebow, he'll make the practice squad, make a catch at practice in the middle of November, and they'll talk about it like it's big news. This shit comes along with him.
It is, for sure. Marlon, I will see you at the end of the week, sir. Hopefully you have a nice week. Stay cool. It's a little warm.
Man, let me tell you something, boy. I feel like I step outside 10 minutes, Joe, and I lose about 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. Watch out there, man.
Yeah. That's how I've tried to look at it like that as we go to break here. Shane, I see you're on hold, sir. We'll come to you right out of the break. But, yeah, I mean, the more I sweat like that, I'm just shedding.
Just shedding. There's nothing wrong with it.
Nope, just I have to look at it like that.
As long as you're not in fancy clothes or anything.
No, it is miserable. There's no fancy clothes. Here I am again with the sleeveless shirt.
There you go.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with just trying to stay cool. Literally. Quick break. We come back. 800-998-1003. Phone lines open the rest of the way. Coming up at the top of the hour, Matt Moscone after further review right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Who have we all had a little trouble social distancing from? Here's a clue. About 6 feet tall, has handles, and it's cold inside. That's right, our refrigerators. And our waistlines have suffered. However, Skechers would like to help you get back on track with our incredible Go Walk footwear. Because once you put on Skechers Go Walks, they're so comfortable you'll be inspired to get out there and start walking. Skechers is a comfort technology company, and Go Walks are fully loaded with all the comfort and performance innovations you need. They're incredibly lightweight and breathable with features like air-cooled Goga Mat insoles and bouncy foam bottoms for extra cushioning. And Go Walk footwear come in all the fits you love, like Stretch Fit, Wide Fit, Relax Fit, and Arch Fit with podiatrist-certified arch support. Plus, you'll look great with so many stylish options to choose from, including easy slip-ons and comfy lace-ups. And they're even machine washable. It's time you distance yourself from that fridge. Get out there and start Go Walking. Find the number one walking footwear in the world, Skechers Go Walk, for men and women at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Wow, look at the talent here tonight.
What's up, Shameless?
Oh, hey, 90 Day Fiancé.
Grey's Anatomy, uh-huh, I see you.
Futurama, looking good.
Blackish, come here.
Solar Opposites, looking fire.
The Handmaid's Tale, shrill.
What's up, Palm Springs?
Don't be weird about it. With everything you love, the choice is easy. Time to have Hulu.
The biggest names in sports, coming to your mornings.
Jay Gruden, former NFL head coach.
Key always tells us that all these narratives about him saying he wanted the ball were built in by the media.
He wrote a book, Give Me the Damn Ball. We named plays for you. We had 72 Trojans for you. We named plays after you to get you the ball. I mean, we couldn't throw you the ball. That was up to Brad.
The biggest names in sports, every morning, with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Shane, thanks for holding on, sir. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well, man. What you got?
Oh, man, they got so much going on this weekend. I don't even know where to start. Well, I know where to start. Nobody cares about it. It's too big. If you want to talk about LSU baseball, you can listen to No. 49 in Baton Rouge. That's what they talk about all day. But the Phoenix Suns, I hate that Monty has Chris Williams and Chris Paul on that team because I like Monty, you know, the whole scoring. I hate the way he left New Orleans, but I never want to see Chris Paul win anything. I don't want him to win that tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe.
I would love for him to get to the NBA Finals and get down by 1 point, and he has free throws and he misses both of them. That's how.
Oh.
I don't want
to wow.
Anything.
Wow.
I don't want.
Is it is this based off of his
yes.
departure here?
Yes. Him and Anthony Davis, they could. I don't wish ill on them by wanting to be able to provide for their families and stuff. And it ate my soul that Anthony Davis, they gave him that title last year. I don't want them to win anything, ever. Tic-tac-toe, checkers, anything. Monopoly, I want to see him lose over and over and over again. And I know what's going to happen. He's going to get to the next round and he's going to sprain his pinky toe or something. They're going to be up 3-1 on the Clippers or the Jazz, and he's going to sprain a pinky toe. And then Stephen A. is going to scream for the rest of the summer that he would have won a title if they would have won a title if he hadn't got injured and blah, 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 blah. And that's how that's going to be. So, but I hate that Monty has to be a part of that blasphemy of Chris Paul. And let's see what else is going on this weekend. 12 teams is too many teams. How you go from 4, you didn't try 6, 8, 10, you go from 4 to 12, that's like a big jump to me. And I think they're going to have some. I kind of like the from the end of November till the beginning of January, we're fussing because Oklahoma got in and not Cincinnati and not Boise City, though. I kind of like that little argument.
Do you really like that, though? Because you're not alone. Yeah. I saw that last week, and in particular, it was Booger McFarland, who literally for 5 minutes was going on this rant how he hated it, and he wanted to be 4 because he thinks keeping it 4 keeps it interesting. He likes arguing. He likes debate. I'm sitting here, I'm like, that's literally like on purpose going home and calling your wife fat. Like, why? What makes it good to hear people get upset and to argue and be pointless when here's my thing. This isn't politics that I'm trying to convince you of a either theory or belief or a plan. Shane, this is a competition. This is a sport. And in its very essence, sport is played. You don't put on a game. What I'm saying is you don't show up to the dome for the Saints and Packers, and then the guys walk on the field and walk off. And then we assume or we'll debate and talk would the Packers or Saints would have won. They play a football game. Like, I my point is, why would you not decide it to play on a field? And I can understand basing the merit to try to make, you know, decisions on at-larges and things of that nature. But if you win your conference and you win certain amount of games, you should have the chance to compete. You get waxed. But you know what happens? You're going to make everybody else better and people have to get up and play better. And I will use women's basketball, which maybe I don't know if a lot of you guys will pay attention to it. But UConn's a prime example. For years, it was a joke. They wouldn't lose a game. And the teams that would meet them in the finals or in the women's final four, it got smoked. And guess what happened? In the last 5 years, UConn's not dominating anything anymore because everybody had to catch up and play better. So you could say right now, Coastal Carolina, UL, or whatever, wouldn't beat Bama. Absolutely not. SEC teams aren't beating Bama. I mean, what Saban and Bama's doing, that's not normal. So at some point, that's going to retire and go away. So I like, it's why we like March Madness. Again, Butler going to beat Duke. No, they're not. But they got a chance to play, and it was a buzzer beater almost, right? I mean, give it an opportunity is all I'm saying. It's some of the best moments we like. The Miracle on Ice was an upset. Imagine, hey, well, the U.S. wouldn't, they don't even belong on this. They didn't. It didn't belong on that stage at that point. So what if the Olympics would have said, nah, you're not good enough. You don't, not deserving. That's my only thing with this, Shane, is just play it on the field, man. You win your conference, you're in. You do a good enough resume and you schedule good and you do all those things. You get an at-large bid and then play the game. Let's see what happens, man. I hate that literally there are teams and schools and kids that will go to practice, put in the work, have to, juggle academics, if you want to say that, or, like a lot of people feel, this is their job. And imagine doing a job, but you won't have a chance to get the ultimate prize. Imagine, Shane, if I hired you, but there is no way you're ever going to get promoted. You're never going to be promoted. You're never going to get that opportunity to be a boss. It's not fair.
I think that 12 is too many, and my point is, and you said the two teams that I was going to see, like the Chanticleers or whatever they are, go down to Tuscaloosa, and that's a bloodbath. I don't want to kick 3 hours out of my life, and I'm not going to be able to turn it because it's going to be the only game on. So I'm going to have to sit there and watch Alabama.
Right.
Just
but at the same time, Shane, every single college football season, the top programs schedule directional schools in two or three of the first few games for beatings. They're called check games.
Right. Right.
And no one complains about it. Like, literally, week one coming up in September, Ohio State will blow away Kleber University 63-3.
What that does? It pays for the rest of the season.
And let me tell you something, Shane. Having been at Tulane for some of those games, like when you go, look, they actually competed against Oklahoma in the first half. I think led or just down at halftime. Like, but when you go play Ohio State and other, it's not fun. It is not fun being down 63-10 in the third quarter. It's not. But. Right. And everybody's fine with that, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Look, here's the other thing, though. And again, it's cyclical. Bama's not. At some point, Nick Saban's going to retire. Maybe not, man. Maybe he'll, like, reanimate himself or something.
He'll
die, and he'll
come back.
But at the same point, look.
He's going to die in that chair.
He probably will.
He might not die.
Let me tell you something. For a guy like him, Shane, they don't know anything else, man. Like, they don't know anything else. You know, like, I saw Drew today on his Instagram and Twitter. He's out for a bike ride. He's got he has the old AirPods. Get the AirPods Pro, man. Get, like, a Bose contract.
Maybe he likes them a little bit better.
No, those are terrible. I mean, my point is, he's out there, he doesn't know any better. That is a guy that's not going to sit at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just don't, they wire different, man. But, I don't know. I want to see competition. I would rather see Shane a semifinal game like, you know, they had last week where they put up what the playoff picture would have been like, you know, from a season ago. So last year would have been Cincinnati and Georgia, Notre Dame, Coastal Carolina, Texas A&M and Indiana, Florida State, Iowa State, and then Bama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson would have had a bye. I would much rather ratch that than the Kleber Weed Eater Bowl with two teams that I absolutely know nothing about and are playing in front of 2,000 people. And,
well, thank,
I mean, I
thank God for sports gambling coming to Louisiana.
Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying. So the gamblers like that. But how much more, though, interest would be in
Western Michigan?
Shane became an authority on Western Michigan.
On Tuesday night in December, I love it with the cold air blowing out their mouths, and I like watching what they call it, or something on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
I love watching the game.
That's good stuff, Shane. Appreciate it, man. Thank you as always for the phone call, buddy.
All right, buddy.
There he goes. Was it Shane? Is Shane always the one that's trying to trade Eric Bledsoe?
I think it is Shane. Might be Shane.
He's still on the Pelicans, right? I'm just making
Eric Bledsoe?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully.
Okay.
Not.
Wow. I didn't say that. All right. 800-998-1003. I think one of the other things that I wanted to play here is interesting. We were touching on the Browns. I made that mention to, you know, Raphael, that everyone's talking about the Browns right now. There's Marcus Spears.
I think this team can make the AFC Championship. I don't think they are on the Chiefs level because of 15. and because of that experience. But from a talent standpoint, if you look at the way they played last year and you look at how they're built, this team can run the football. And when you can do that, you got a shot in every game. And I know it's crazy when people hear us say that and, you know, receive and people throwing for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in the NFL, and that's the thing that gets the storylines. But like I said earlier, they insulated Baker in his offense, and Chubb and Kareem Hunt, arguably the best backfield in the league when you talk about a tandem. I just think experience, maturity, going to the playoffs last year, understanding that they can do it, it's not the same old Browns. It seems, man, that this coaching staff, it seems that Andrew Berry, the general manager, it seems like everybody is working in tandem. And as long as they can continue to progress Baker, I think the talent around him is as good as anybody else on paper.
What do you think?
I think it's the yearly story that we hear around this time when there's nothing else to talk about in the NFL because the Aaron Rodgers story has kind of exhausted itself. And now all we have to talk about is the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield going to the Super Bowl. Once
really?
Again.
Okay.
For probably what? This is the third straight year they're banking on them going to Super Bowl?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
All right. Sports Hangover final segment. Wow, you're not a believer at all in this, are you?
And when it happens at this time every year, it's like clockwork.
Wow. Oh, okay. We'll be back. It's the Sports Hangover final segment. Matt Moscone after further review coming up in 15 minutes on your home for Pelican basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Golden Motors right here in Cutoff, Louisiana is the place to buy your next Chevrolet, Buick, or nearly new pre-owned or any make or model vehicle that you're looking for. Golden Motors, nestled only 60 miles from New Orleans, only 35 to 40 minutes from home of Thibodeau area, and only seconds from www.goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority. Cutoff, Louisiana, 985-325-1000 or goldenmotors.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Heard you're buying a car. I brought my calculator.
Dad, I already used Capital One Auto Navigator. I found my car online and got pre-qualified instantly, instead of all that.
You know those things impact your credit score.
Didn't impact my credit score, Dad. Now I'm going to the dealership for a test drive and to make the purchase.
Sounds too easy.
No, it's just easy. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Coming up in a few minutes, we'll bring back Shot of the Day, Jordan. Some of you see that way back in the way. Real easy. You take a shot at somebody or a shot for somebody. We can use the final 15-minute segment of every show if you'd like to do that as well. Real simple. You can pick a beverage, you can do whatever you want, and just say, I'm taking a shot for someone, I'm taking a shot at someone. Jack, what's going on today, man? How are you?
Hello, how y'all doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Hey, all right. Gus, I don't care if they put 100 teams in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. We'll just see some 80 to 3 playoff games. It's fine. But my question to you is, though, you know, you were talking, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know what's going to happen, man. Because you realize, you know, like we talked about before, we're not just talking about the non-Power 5 teams. The teams at the bottom of the SEC aren't really competitive. They're not really, you know, they're not really fighting for a championship. It's the same act as the last 30 years. You know, you're Alabama, you're Auburn, you're Georgia, Texas A&M, occasionally LSU. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a You know, it's a money-making proposition. It's fine. But my question to you, the next time we have Nickel State's coach on, could you ask him how the non-payday games are going to affect them? You know, because you're right. I don't watch those games either. I'll find competitive games to watch on the first weekend. But I have to believe it's really going to hurt those programs.
It's an interesting point. I still think those games will exist. Because I don't think you're going to have Jack. Even though I know a bunch of coaches this weekend said, well, look, we've always wanted to schedule those Power Fives. Do you, though? I mean, I don't think they're not going to play directional schools or in-state schools in order to add three more top five, top ten teams. It may or may not, but that is a very legit question. A lot of those schools depend on those check games, and quite honestly, that's how they fill out their schedules. So, maybe forming different conferences. I mean, remember we were talking about going into the super regional, how the Sun Belt's going to change next year. You basically have the Texas schools going to the MAC coming back, or the WAC, I think, and then, you know, the Louisiana schools basically will be the Sun Belt. So maybe you're going to start seeing conferences like Conference USA have to pair up with another conference to become a super conference in order to do things like that, you know?
Right. And, like I said, it's just a money-making proposition. Let them do what they want. We'll end up with the same teams anyway. You kind of compare it to basketball. You only need five people for a basketball team. You know, and that's a one and done tournament in a sport that's traditionally a series sport. You know, in the NBA, you don't just play one game. But you know, hey Gus, I had a couple of questions to ask you. Over the weekend, did you happen to see? I'm not a tennis fan, but I saw the highlight when Djokovic won the French Open. Did you see him hand the racket to that kid and how the kid reacted?
I saw it.
Well, if you did.
I did not.
Yeah. Imagine if you were 12 years old and Michael Jordan handed you some shoes. That's how the kid reacted. Yeah, he just lost his mind.
I saw this morning a lot of people were talking about, has he surpassed Federer? Is he the GOAT? Is he the greatest to have ever played the game?
Well, like I said, I'm not a tennis guy. I'm sorry. No, but Greeny was talking about it this morning because he's a big tennis fan, and he was saying if Djokovic wins the next Wimbledon, if he wins at Wimbledon, there'll be three guys playing with at least 20 Grand Slam wins. And he said he was trying to think of something that would be, you know, it would be like what he said it would be like LeBron and Kobe and Michael all playing at the same time. So.
Right. Yeah,
like I said, I'm not a big tennis guy, but that's impressive. So, and one other thing, did you see Christian Eriksen almost die Saturday morning?
Yes,
he's
talked about that at the beginning of the show. It was,
because
a lot of people brought up the fact that there was, you know, Hank Gathers would be the one that everyone was thinking of, that we actually saw something like that take place on the court. Because I was saying it's remarkable with so many events being shot on video, whether it's live or recorded or streamed or whatever, that we've never seen an accident sort of like that. I mean, I brought up Dale Earnhardt. We didn't know until later that he had died. When we've seen crashes that look like a normal crash into the wall. We've seen spectacular crashes where the drivers kind of walk out of there and stuff. We've seen open fracture hits on football, like Theismann and Alex Smith. We've seen, you know, baseballs to the face and stuff. But
was that a shot at me?
No, I mean
baseballs to the face.
The Mets guy that got hit in the face by a pitch.
Oh, you pointed your hand towards me.
No, a real major league player in an at bat, Jordan. In the stands.
I wasn't in the stands. I was on the field.
You know what? You're that guy. Heads up. You know, when a ball comes, and what do you do? You look down.
I looked the way it was coming.
Oh, did you? So you just missed it. See, Jack? See? What was your name?
Gus, I had
the glove. Playground?
The glove. The glove couldn't save his own nose.
You and Gary Payton. Hey, Gus, I had a question about that, though. Do you think the TV network should have kept the camera going. Because I mean, you saw his wife freaking out and people just getting, you know, because we almost died.
I think when they went off of it was when they realized when they started seeing the CPR.
Right.
I think that's when, you know, anybody with the right mind, you know, if you just see somebody fall and collapse, you staying on it because you want to know what happened. I mean, did he trip? Did he fall? did he pass out or whatever? But when you started the CPRing, that was like, okay, it's time to go to break. And, yeah, I mean, it was scary for sure.
And, guys, before I get out, I would love to see Monty and Drew play in the finals. I have to believe that rating would be low everywhere else in the country, but pretty high in New Orleans.